always one of our most action-packed days of 2025. Packers training camp, day one. Feels like the first day of school here up in Green Bay. Jesse and Tausch, for the time being, on Wilde and Tausch. Jason Wilde in attendance at the press conferences for both Packers GM Brian Gutekunst and head coach Matt LaFleur, still meeting with the media right now as they get set for the start of training camp practice number one about 20 minutes from now, right across the street, as you're watching on our video stream on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you find us, over at Ray Nitschke Field or maybe in the Hudson Center. It is starting to rain a little bit here in Green Bay. I know there were some bad storms coming through the central part of the state today. Not sure if that's going to impact practice coming up here in a little bit or not. We will find out when Jason Wilde rejoins the show in about 20 minutes, sharing his insights and observations here in Green Bay as Packers training camp practice number one gets underway. Special thanks again to Sharina Smith, the Chief Marketing Officer of American Family Insurance, for joining us in the 9 o'clock hour, as did former Packers offensive lineman and tomorrow's cousin sub of the day for Tausch, Brian Bulaga. We talked a lot of offensive line with Blue, Tausch. Elton Jenkins dealing with a back thing. I'm thinking about going home today and telling Becca I'm dealing with a back thing. I can't dust the living room like she wants me to do. Seeing some inspiration from what Brian Gutekunst said at the podium earlier this morning. What do we make of the Elton Jenkins situation?
So I'm not going to poo-poo because I don't know if he has an injury. Just for the record, I'm not going to poo-poo it. But this is the new kind of way that players that are unhappy with their contract handle their business. And I am, just for the record, 100% in support of Elton in figuring out how to go about getting some guarantees for the next couple of years. It is going to come to a head at some point. I think Green Bay is going to be more than happy to let this thing ride for a little bit. But as Brian mentioned, and I said, you're wanting to chase a championship. You want to be the best football team you can be. Elton Jenkins needs to be your starting center, and he needs to be out there practicing. And you have to balance that with keeping your, being fiscally responsible with your economics, because you have a lot of young players you're going to have to pay a lot of money to. And they don't like paying 30-year-olds. And by the way, I'm on board with understanding why they do that, because it's right most of the time. So it's a tricky situation. I'm fairly certain that if Elton gets his deal reworked, he'll be practicing. Now, his back might be tight. All of a sudden, you put a little balm on that back, it loosens up, and that balm is guaranteed money. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody knows the game that's going on, and you just want to keep it as cordial as you can until you can't. And I don't know when that deadline is going to be, but I don't think it's on the 23rd of July.
844-770-3776 is the Carbliss ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Liz is more. Okay, so there's a question here from Greg in Madison. I'm going to present it, Tausch, and I'll let you address it however you choose to do so. Any chance the Elton Jenkins delay is due to a trade being worked out for Trey Hendrickson, since the Bengals need to upgrade their offensive line?
I'm not going to say there's not a chance. You have two players that aren't happy with their deals. I feel fairly certain Cincinnati would be more than happy paying Elton Jenkins two or three more years to have him protecting Joe Burrow. So I've heard of crazier ideas. I mean, Rutledge wanted to trade Peralta for what's-his-face down in Arizona.
Suarez.
I've heard of crazier ideas. So do I think that's the case? And again, the issue I have is trading Elton Jenkins is not helping you become a champion. Bringing in Trey Hendrickson will help you, but Elton Jenkins, this offensive line shuffle and the pay that you just gave to Banks is dependent on Elton Jenkins being your center. So I think from Cincinnati's end, I could see it making a lot more sense than from Green Bay's end. And no, I don't think that is what's going on. I think what's going on is both sides are trying to figure out, okay, I know, understand what you want. We're not giving you that. You understand that we just want you to play this out, and you don't want that. How can we figure out a way that both sides, that you'll come back and play and feel better about it than what you do right now? And I think that's eventually what will happen. But getting rid of Elgton Jenkins is not helping you win a championship. All you have to do, go back and look at that Philadelphia Eagle playoff game. This team couldn't function. Now, they hopefully are going to be better equipped to do that. And if you remember, nobody would have thought that Josh Sitton would have not have been the starting left guard back in whatever year that was, 2016. Stuff happens. Feelings can get hurt, and people make decisions. So I'm not saying lock, stock, Elgton Jenkins would be the center. All I'm saying is you're going to be a better football team if Elgton Jenkins is here. Cooler heads will prevail. They're going to figure something out, and he'll be your center for the Green Bay Packers. But if it doesn't, this little trade scenario, hey, man, we deal in hypotheticals. LaFleur doesn't, Goody doesn't, and they shouldn't. Sports Talk does. And that hypothetical would be very interesting on both sides of it, but Cincinnati would win that trade, in my opinion.
A lot of different stages of life for all the players taking part in training camp 2025. Practice number one about to get underway here in just a little bit. Rumor has it Jason Wilde's going to make a quick pit stop by here at the Tundra Trio before practice gets underway. So we're going to hold off playing trivia for the time being. We were going to do that next. We're going to hold off to see if Jason's able to stop by here in the next moments. But for every stage of life, Tausch, UW Credit Union is there for every you.
You just stole my first line, but you are correct. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years. They're going to help you reach your financial goals, and they got you covered. If you want to keep your banking local like I do, if you want member-first service like I do, and if you love great perks like I do, UW Credit Union has it all. And you got to love Bucky. They are associated with Bucky. They've been a part of the University of Wisconsin for a long time. And if you love Wisconsin like I do, you just can't pay with anything else. Fandom will make you do crazy things, but boy, does this just make sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today. Get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
By the way, the Packers not the only team helping kick off their season today in one manner or another. Training camp practice number one starting in just a few minutes across the street here in Green Bay. Out in Las Vegas, Big Ten Football Media Day. Luke Fickell meeting with the media at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Quarterback Billy Edwards Jr., among other players in attendance as well. So we get to learn a little from the head coach this afternoon about where Wisconsin football stands heading into the 2025 season. Officially, the first thing that really gets the season started, Big Ten Football Media Day, happening this afternoon out in Las Vegas. Luke Fickell meets at 2 o'clock. We'll talk plenty about what he has to say in the coming days, in addition to all the great Packers stuff going on. And, of course, the Brewers with the best record in baseball. No big deal, even though they lost last night, snapping an 11-game winning streak. Jason Wilde joins the show, I think, next here in Green Bay. Packers training camp practice 2025. About to get underway. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So a quick change of plans. Jason Wilde not yet here at the Tundra Trio in Green Bay.
Slow walker, huh?
Apparently he's not moving as fast. I don't know if he's lost a step or if he just got held up talking to Domofsky or any of his beat writer brethren who he has not been around for a few weeks here.
Well, let's go through
summer.
Yeah, let's go through a few of the other news and notes that was newsworthy from... I haven't seen anything from LaFleur yet. I saw, obviously, Bo Melton... DB only.
Yeah, that's
big. There was talk of him being Travis Hunter. He switched numbers to number 16, and he is only going to be playing defensive back. It's obviously going to be an uphill battle for him to make the squad as a DB. My guess, because of his special teams prowess and that versatility, they want – Matt LaFleur loves Bo Melton. They want him on this team. They saw what we see is that he ain't going to make it as wideout, so – give him an opportunity. Now, it is not easy. It's hard enough to play defensive back when you've been a defensive back for all of college and high school and then most of your pro. He hadn't done it. So they want him to do it. I think they're going to lean on his special teams to give him time to grow into that. But for all of the Packer fans that say, well, what are you doing to what? How are you getting better in the defensive backfield? If the answer is you got to put 16 out there to shut down Amon St. Brown and everybody else, I can understand why you'd think, what the hell are we doing here? But this is something. You see that they got 13 wideouts. It seems like it's now 12. Bo Melton's exclusively playing defense. Give him an opportunity to get better and better and hopefully find a way to earn a roster spot this season.
So what would be the worst case scenario between these two? Ladarius Gunter on Julio Jones in the NFC Championship game in 2016, or Bo Melton on A.J. Brown in the NFC Championship game in 2026?
I am not going to say anything about it. Bo Melton's a good football player. Is he going to be a good defensive back?
He was a fine player.
Ladarius Gunter was fine. It just was a tough matchup. Julio Jones in his prime was a tough matchup for everybody. So A.J. Brown's a really good player. I don't want Bo Melton guarding A.J. Brown.
I don't think
Matt LaFleur
does
either. In that spot.
I don't think Jeff Hafley.
No, I don't think anyone does.
I don't think Bo wants.
So I guess you can only go off of Green Bay and where we were at with Ladarius against Julio. It wasn't good.
No,
it was bad. So take that for what it's worth. I think it's a. I don't want either. Is the correct answer in this scenario?
I am worried about Bo Melton's future with the team coming out of training camp if he has made the full conversion to the point where his number has changed. That I guess you can interpret that one of two ways. Either it's really good for him because he's all in on that and they're going to find a spot for him because they like him so much, like you said, or it's a last-ditch effort to try and preserve any way you can to remain on the roster in the National Football League, and there's other guys who are going to be more experienced at that position who have played it a lot longer than he has, battling for a chance to stay on the roster. So I guess we'll see how that plays out throughout the training camp.
Another quip that Goody mentioned in his press conference that leads credence to my Halloween prediction for Christian Watson.
I figured you were going to want to talk about this.
He is chomping to get out there. He is starting on the PUP list or NFI or whatever list that they put him on. So he's not going to start camp. I am going to be really interested if he can find a way to get off that list before camp ends. Because I am old enough to remember these conversations all offseason. Oh, Rashawn Gary's not going to be back until da-da-da-da-da. And Rashawn Gary's practicing. And he ended up limited amount of snaps early in the season. Christian Watson is going to be chomping to get out there and play. And while you don't think it's a big deal, Jesse, that he doesn't make that big of a difference on this offense, I do. I think he is a stretcher, a big play opportunity guy, and somebody that they want. The issue that I see, they're going to be super conservative with his rehab. He had the surgery probably in late January. That leaves you at 6 or 7 months. You probably want a little bit more. And the fact that with this roster, giving yourself 5 or 6 weeks isn't going to be a bad thing because you can kind of stash him away, let him keep rehabbing. That is another storyline that is going to be interesting to watch because Christian Watson's going to push the training staff and the docs and everybody else that he wants to get out there. How is Green Bay going to handle that? Because at some point, players know their bodies better than anybody else. You have to save players from themselves sometimes, but Christian Watson's going to want to go eat. It's just a matter of when, how that plays out.
Tausch, why don't you tell us about Kohler Services? The summer is over with our Wildy and Tausch summer tour. You were in Salem Lakes just last week helping remodel a bathroom with Kohler Services.
Yes, and if you're looking for a bath or shower remodel, there is nowhere but Kohler Services to do that. Family-owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, you can get $1,000 off your Lugstone shower remodel, and you don't have any interest financing for 12 months. You visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation. Well, that is always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
Jason Wilde is in the building here at the Tundra Trio, just outside of Lambeau Field and across the street from the Hudson Center, Ray Nitschke Field, and Packers Training Camp Practice 2025. Jason will tell us what he found to be most interesting from the press conferences for Packers GM Brian Gutekunst and head coach Matt LaFleur before he heads over to practice. That's all coming up next. Packers Training Camp opening day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I put Tausch in a pressure situation earlier by doing an American Family Insurance live read here on the show while the chief marketing officer of American Family Insurance was
Is David Gruber coming on now?
I've been asked to host the show while Jason is on the show, and that never happens, so that's a little awkward.
Well, in fairness to you, once I go to practice in a little while, you're donezo.
I'm out of here. Yeah,
because we're not going to have you on delay.
Yeah, that was weird.
Barely can see you.
We try things around.
That wasn't
here.
Good.
Experimental.
We try. Yeah.
Matt LaFleur and Goody, on the other hand, I thought both very good. Tausch, and had a bit of a dust up with the head coach at the end.
I'm sure you did.
Using your great question, he didn't like the way I set it up. So we went back and forth a little bit. He gave me a hard time for always asking the one extra question after Waller says two more, and we get two, then I always ask another one. Which, hey, you know, that's on brand. That's your brand.
Stir stuff up, Jason.
That's your brand.
So we'll get to that during the 11 o'clock hour when I go down to practice. It is drizzling currently. Looking at the Weather Channel radar.
That big Wilde and Tausch hat would fit really good today.
It would have been nice.
But it would be ruined, Jerry.
Would have pretended
ruined!
Got the...
ruined, Jerry!
No, it would have been fine.
So I do want to get to that during the 11 o'clock hour. But you guys did not get to listen, obviously, to our more than half hour between
nope.
the two of them.
No.
You saw some of the highlights, obviously.
Yeah, yep. A lot of offensive line talk, it looked like.
Yeah, for you and Bulaga and Tausch and for us mm-hmm. in the press conferences. But again, as I did set up my question to Matt LaFleur, the only clear-cut starting job competition that we know about today is for left tackle. And mm-hmm. beyond that, you know, it'll be interesting to see how other things play out. That was what got him going. I will say this. He was more honest about the Elton question than I had expected or hoped. I thought it was interesting that he basically acknowledged that there's guys throughout the league that aren't happy in their situations and that you work through it. So it's not just Elton who feels that way. I think we've seen that in the headlines over the last several days as camps have opened. But he claims that once this back issue clears up, Elton plans on practicing. So I don't know what they've told him. I don't know how Elton feels about that. We will go into that, and I thought of you when the coach said this, we will go into that sexy locker room, and we will talk to him about and hopefully talk to Elton about his situation.
Well, I'll say this, Jason. You know what the best balm for a bad back is, right?
Money is the best balm.
You got to get a little balm, right?
I said balm.
Yeah, added cash. Added cash balm. Added ACB. Added cash balm. That's what you're looking for.
We'll see if he gets that balm, and we'll see.
Hey, Jason, you know what the thing, and I was not there. I was just looking at Domofsky was tweeting, and it didn't look like he didn't get called out like Vrabel called out the reporter for not listening. By the way, mm-hmm. if a reporter makes a mistake, they can be held accountable too.
No doubt.
FYI.
We absolutely should be. We should be. No doubt about it.
I thought the interesting one, I have been of the belief, you mentioned the only competition. We did it live while Bulaga was on. It sounds as if Rasheed Walker's going to have to kind of fill his britches, or old boy's going to have to really make a big jump, or Rasheed Walker's going to be your starting left tackle when they go to play Detroit.
Well, not Shido, which I didn't know was his nickname. I feel like I've heard that once before. But when we were talking about nicknames a week or two ago amid the Miz, I'm not sure Shido is really one of my favorites. But if it works for Rasheed Walker, great. I would say this. The way Matt LaFleur then subsequently talked after Goody, it sounded to me like Jordan Morgan is competing at right guard and left tackle simultaneously, and they're going to have him work at both spots. Now, again, I don't know that for certain. Matt LaFleur was a little he was a little unclear on that, but he did mention guard as well. So, again, Rasheed Walker has played a heck of a lot of football for this team.
He 37 starts.
Saved their bacon when David Bakhtiari was only able to play in Chicago and never played again in 2023. So I would hope that Ty goes to the incumbent, and I would hope that he would have to – not only would Jordan Morgan have to win the job, but Rasheed Walker would have to lose it, and that there would be a significant disparity there.
I am smelling – very similar thoughts to last year, because you remember last year we did this show and it was very similar. Oh, we're going to see left tackle spot. And then literally day two, they're like, Sheed's our starter. Jordan's going to compete with Ryan at guard. I'm betting by the middle of next week, y'all are going to be talking about him competing at right guard. That is just the vibe that I just got from listening to you and listening and seeing the quotes that Goody said. Sounds to me like that. If you're already talking about having him do right guard again, this thing's over.
Yeah, two things I would say to that. One, I love that because it tells me that him being a first-round pick is not a factor in who's going to win the left tackle job. Like, that's all you ask for. You tell me, Tausch. That's all you ask for as a player, though, right?
Is that you want a chance to have a chance.
Right, no matter
chance to have a chance.
No matter where you were drafted, no matter what the expectations are on you, you want to be given the opportunity, and then whatever you do with it is up to you. And so, as I'd said when we would talk about this competition previously, you know, I hate the idea of if it's a draw that the tiebreaker would be, well, he's our first round pick, we got to get him on the field. That would really, I don't think that's good for your locker room if that were to be the case either.
Well, Jason, just think about Apollo Creed and Sylvester Stallone and Rocky One. The thing ended up being a draw, right? And Rocky felt good about it, but Apollo was still the champ, but he spent every last waking hour trying to talk Rocky into coming back out. So, you know, but the incumbent wants to also knock out the challenger. Now, eventually you want to have the title and you want to have all the accolades, but you want it to be a no-brainer. Like it was last year. He doesn't want to see Rocky 1. He wants to see it more. I don't even know. He probably doesn't want to be Rocky 2.
Well, now
because
wait,
then
so
he gets Rocky, knocked out and he loses.
I'm not following.
So Rocky 1, Apollo wins on decision.
Yeah. Rocky lost Rocky 1.
And then they go hospital at
but
the start of Rocky.
But he didn't really lose. In the public
he
opinion,
won by staying really right. Lost. He won by lasting 15 rounds against the champ and it being close.
He went the distance.
Rocky,
but he lost.
Rocky 2 picks
not
up
really,
again because we're big on old references. This is even older than Dallas, I believe. Right? I think Rocky 1 was 76, which is a year before Tausch was even born.
Yeah.
Rocky 2 picks up there at the hospital. And they're like both getting like examined after the fight and they're talking, they're already thinking rematch, and then Rocky 2 ends with them both going to the canvas, and Rocky gets up before Apollo does. Your lighting sucks in here, Jesse.
Don't worry. The YouTube comments are letting us know. Yes, the natural light is fluctuating
outside.
I've
never looked better. I want to get to my second point, though, before I assume we need to get to break, so we have one more segment, and then I'll leave.
Whenever you want to go to practice, you take us to break when you're ready.
All right. So
just don't tell us tell us about Gruber before
I will.
You do that.
I will definitely do that. But the other part of this is I love the idea of Jordan Morgan competing with Sean Ryan because, Sean Ryan makes it very difficult to get an audio clip that is legally able to be played on our show. because he works in the F word like some artists work in clay or oils. But he also makes it very difficult for anybody who wants to take his job. And they have done everything they can to try and give his job away, and he has answered the bell every time. So that would be an interesting competition, too. And if it comes down to it, if Jordan Morgan is the sixth man, I know that's not ideal because he's a first-round pick, but you know, having played the offensive line yourself and having played with guys that were tough hombres, even the toughest offensive linemen generally can't get through a season all 17 mm-hmm. games now, and certainly not all five for all 17 games. So he's
yeah, but
have
I'm going to be honest with you, Jason. I agree, and I think from a depth standpoint, that's great. But I think when they made the decision to pay Zach Tom, they basically said they're not going to pay Sheed.
No, I agree. Or Sean Ryan, I would bet.
Or probably Sean Ryan. I don't know about that as much, but what I will say is I don't think it will go over well, both with Jordan and with fans, if your first-round pick in year two is still a swing guy. Because now, where is he going to play? If something happens to Zach Tom, they'll put him in at right tackle, right guard. He would be probably at left guard, or depending if somebody emerges as center. Jordan Morgan, this is a big camp for him.
Yeah,
I think he needs to grab one of these two starting spots, or there's going to be a lot of disappointment. Now, I've seen plenty of players continue to work and get better and play in year three. But first-round picks, they maybe will sit the first year. They don't sit the second year. That is not going to be the preferred outcome, both of the front office and of Jordan Morgan. It will be, obviously, for Sean Ryan and for Sheeto, but that doesn't mean that's what is in the best interest, especially for the Green Bay Packers, if their first-round pick is going to be a swing guy the whole time.
Yeah, if he doesn't win the job, what is going to happen is he is going to go in as the sixth man wherever somebody goes down. And if for some reason it's Elton at center, they're going to move Sean Ryan. He's going to go to right guard. He's going to play everywhere but center. And he could end up playing 12 games.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think that's the best interest either. You hope that Jacob Monk emerges and can be a backup center, because if he ain't, he ain't going to be here.
Yeah, that's a distinct possibility, too. So, we're on day one. They don't even put the pads on until Sunday. So even the offensive line stuff that we'll see today, tomorrow, and Friday will be muted. It will certainly not be what you got into the first. We were talking about this with Goody earlier. You know, Rob Reichel brought up that, you know, once upon a time Don Shula was doing four-a-days. 25 years ago, Mike Sherman, and you were a rookie on that team, was doing 51 practices and pads in the morning, pads in the afternoon for four straight days. And the question was whether or not Goody gets enough intel to make the best decisions with the roster. And he was, you know, he said, you have what you have, essentially. But, yeah, you know, with the joint practices, the truth is he doesn't have nearly the same information that Ron had, that Ted had early in his tenure. He just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that when those guys have the pads on, that's when they'll be looking closest. And that's when we'll see what this offensive line competition shakes out as.
So you're going to head over to practice now. Is that my understanding?
I'm going to head over to find an umbrella first, and then I'm going to head over to practice because I do believe we'll be out in the rain. And unlike those soft old days when Tausch used to play and it started to rain a little bit and all the little guys that were made of sugar had to run inside the Hudson Center to finish practice, Matt LaFleur keeps them practicing in the rain. McCarthy did that to some degree, right, Tausch?
Tough guys. Oh, those are tough guys. Yeah. Yeah, we stayed. And by the way, you think I didn't want to play in the rain rather than that sweat box in the Hudson Center? Let it rain, baby, all day. Hello?
I think we lost them, Tausch.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you while we take a quick trip and get stuff settled up. I will tell you about Quick Trip and climbing to the top. Gear up for Quick Trip Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Every sip gets you closer to the summit now through August 17th. Play every day for free in the Quick Rewards app, and you can score bonus plays with every eligible item that you grab, like a Pepsi, a Mountain Dew, Gatorade. You can earn two extra bonus plays, and the cash prize climbs by $5,000, higher and higher until you reach that top prize of $250,000. Get climbing now in the Quick Rewards app, and all kinds of specials going on at Quick Trip. As always, the Quick Read White Bread, 99 cents a loaf. Nature's Touch Ice Cream, buy one pint for $3.99. You get one for free. And those beautiful bacon-wrapped pork loins for $5. Life is busy. Quick Trip gets it. Quick Trip is your one stop for variety, quality, and fast service. Head on down. Remember to download the Quick Rewards app and take advantage of everything that Quick Trip has to offer. Quick Trip, we'll see you next time. We'll try to get reconnected with Jesse. Jason's heading down to practice. A lot of interesting stuff from Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur today in their opening season press conference. Packers season is underway, and so are we here on Wilde and Tausch.
First of all, I love bringing this to the public.
The Rich Eisen Show.
NFC North. Top to bottom, you could say this is the best this division has ever been.
Coming September 2nd on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and on Disney Plus.
Call you up in the middle of the night, like a firefly without a light.
Not sure what our technical glitch was there, but I have abandoned Jesse and headed down to the epicenter of excitement. Tausch, what do you remember? What do you remember of the first day of camp? Both when you were a rookie, and I know you guys came in as rookies earlier than the rest of the team, but what's the vibe on a day like today when you got fans who haven't been here for the entire offseason program, all that kind of stuff? What's the vibe for that?
You're excited. There's some anxiousness, but it's mostly you're just happy to be back and you're ready to get to work. And for me, it was always, let's just get to it. Because then you start getting falling back into your routine. And that's what, you know, why we're such sticklers for routine is because we can control that. There's so many other things you can't control. Players love controlling what they can control. And you'll hear that quote probably more than you'd ever want. So that's the big thing.
Well, as you can perhaps hear, there's already clapping and cheering for the excitement of throwing balls in the nets. And I got to think, there it is again. I got to think that you and I have talked about this during the offseason program when you're not giving me a hard time for saying that I didn't learn anything from that Thursday practice, which I didn't. But is it changed because the fans are in here? Like, do players actually draw from that? Or is it more just the excitement of being back out here with your guys and you had 6 weeks where you were away from each other? And is that more the vibe than there being all these? I mean, there's a lot of people in the stands, by the way, for a practice.
I think obviously add to the energy of what you're doing, but are you doing it? You're doing it, A, because you want to get a job and you want to be a part of it. You want to be a part of this team. That's the excitement level. The fans, the fans are an added bonus as far as bringing energy. You know, you love that vibe that they bring. But this comes down to just getting better and trying to make a football team for the guys that aren't, you know, lock stock starters. That's the main goal of what you're going about doing. And, you know, being with your teammates is another plus, but it's about winning a job. That's what the goal is when you're talking about most players.
So again, as we've talked about many times and about how different it is from when you were playing, they are in helmets, jerseys, and shorts. It is essentially an OTA, mandatory mini camp style practice. It's a bunch of individual drill work. It's a bunch of, routes on air type work. They're doing ball security right now where the running backs and the receivers catch a ball and then the boxing gloves, the coaches are punching at the ball. The working into it at this pace is not great for those of us that want all kinds of excitement and things to write about today, but it is much more beneficial for players, right? I mean, that if and I know we've talked about this before, but especially on a day like this, the idea of easing your way into it for a player, is that valuable? It's certainly better for you in terms of your, you know, health and injury potential, but is that also good just to get your kind of get your sea legs to get back into it?
Yeah, that was the other thing that I was just going to say about, like, when you're thinking about, you work hard in the off season and, you know, you're doing all these things. It's not as much, obviously, without pads, but I just always remember conditioning tests, and you do all that the day before, and it was dumb. Like, I'm glad that they've gotten rid of that, because it didn't matter how good a shape you were in. You run a bunch, your legs are going to be tired. And then you go out and try to do two practices. And I can just remember we're in pads and, you know, the sweat dripping down into your shoes so that when you'd walk, you'd be like in a rain puddle, but it was dry out. You know, slop, slop. And then your legs just get heavy by the beginning of those team drills. And you're like, whoa. It slaps you back into reality that you got to work and you got to get reps and you got to do all of the things you need to do. And that's one of the things now that, guys, you're keeping your legs fresher. But the thing I'm always worried about is you don't take a ton of reps in the preseason. You don't do it in camp. And then all of a sudden you snap your fingers and you're playing Detroit and you got to take 80 snaps and you got to go on long drives. Have you been tested in those things? And for me as a player, I was. Are these guys? And that's always, but both sides have to worry about those same things. But one of the feelings always was, oh, didn't matter what, how hard you worked and got in shape, your legs were going to be heavy by the end of those practices when you put pads on for the first time.
That loud cheer you may have heard in the background was for Christian Watson jogging at about half speed with nothing protective on his right knee as he ran past the fans on the far side of the field. Oh, and it's the loudest reaction that I've heard since I walked in. Now, I know you guys talked about him a little bit. I don't want to replay the 10 o'clock hour or the 9:30 portion of the show with Brian Bulaga, but having listened to Matt LaFleur and having listened to Goody, I do want to talk a little bit about where Christian is and what the hopes are. He did say very clearly he will not practice fully during training camp. Now, does that mean he won't practice at all? Does that mean he will open the season on the PUP list? We'll get into that during the 11 o'clock hour. I know you guys talked a little bit about Bo Melton. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried about my guy. Maybe I took things at face value a little bit too much when I was told them at the mini camp last month. We'll have to talk about that as well coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. We will get to all that and more. I was going to tell you while I was still with Jesse, but circumstances beyond our control prevented it. About Gruble offices, one call, that's all. David and his team are the best. We still haven't gotten our little situation squared away with our vehicle, but we knew that if we had questions, because we'd been in an accident, what we needed to know, David was the one to call, or in my case, text. They're the best. And if you go to gruber-law.com, you'll find out more about the firm, all of David's history, all the great lawyers that are there, including Nick, who helped us through our process, all that and more. And of course, you always want to make that one call if you need to make it. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Work time.